Now, with me in the studio is Nicola, who is an ambassador for Sea Change, an organisation dedicated to the ending of mental health stigma and changing mindsets about mental health problems in Ireland. Sea Change is also passionate about equality and wants to ensure that everyone enjoys equal rights on an equal basis, and also to understand that mental health problems can affect anyone at any time during their lives and are part and parcel of being human. You're very welcome, Nicola, and thank you for joining us on Lifeline on Near FM.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, Nicola, no problem. Are you happy with my introduction? Is there anything that you would change in what I've said?
No, I think that's fine to kick off with.
Okay. Nicola, can you tell our listeners a little about yourself and how you became an ambassador for Sea Change?
Of course. I currently have a bipolar diagnosis, and shortly after that, I became involved with a number of organisations volunteering in mental health. And through some of those activities, I was approached and asked to be an ambassador by Sea Change. And what that means is at any time that there needs to be engagement with the media, either about bipolar or in the region of Galway, which is where I'm from, then I get put forward, just as I'm here today.
Right. OK, thank you. And how do you see your job as an ambassador for Sea Change?
I think it's about the fact that I am able to speak about my own situation at a time when others might not be able to speak about their own. So really, I'm advocating on behalf of other people.
Right. OK. And what mental health difficulties did you suffer from at the time? Like, if you don't mind discussing this topic.
No, of course not. It would be a very short interview otherwise.
Right.
As I said, I have a bipolar diagnosis. Although my first episode was at the age of 25, I didn't actually get that diagnosis until I was in my 40s. I had a number of episodes, but unfortunately, each of these was seen as an incident in its own right. And it wasn't until much later that actually the pieces were joined together and I was given the diagnosis.
Right. Okay.
Bipolar itself actually means that I experience extremes of high and low mood. So while most of us will be familiar with the notion of depression, maybe people less so about having elated mood. And for me, what that meant was that I did a number of things that were out of character in these moments of high, such as deciding to leave my job one day and over the weekend, selling my sports car, putting my house up for rent and moving to Brighton.
Wow, that is impressive, Nicola. That's what I could call certainly not doing things by halves. So how did you cope with the situation then? Were you very frightened and isolated by these events?
I think in parcel because each of them was seen as separate. Even I didn't glue the pieces together. It wasn't until I realised that I was using alcohol to medicate some of my feelings that I began to see that there was a problem, and that did make me feel more isolated. I became more secretive because I didn't want people to know that I was drinking to try and address my feelings. Isolated? No, I didn't really feel isolated. I've always been able to talk about my own situation and Right. did discuss with a number of people what was happening at the time. But I do know that I'm in the minority in that sense.
Right, okay. And did you have any insight into the possible root cause of the problem? Like, Nicola, was there anything tangible, either at home, school or work, that you felt that contributed to this problem?
No, nothing at all, which actually made it more complexing as to, you know, why I had found myself in this situation. I had a very happy upbringing in childhood. I'd done well at school. I had been able to achieve a lot of the things that I had set out to do. It wasn't until I was able to avail of counselling or talking therapy, as it's also known, that I realised that a lot of the root causes of my situation were due to the pressure that I put on myself to succeed, and that actually I was always focusing on the next activity rather than enjoying it for what it was at the time. Right. I was always pushing myself further forward and, yes, you know, harder.
Yes, yes, got it. And did you discuss your mental health problems openly at the time? And did you experience any stigma or of, you know, events of people shying away from you because of this problem?
I didn't, not personally. Nobody came up and spoke to me or said anything discriminatory to my face. Obviously, I don't know what people say. Maybe my work colleagues at the time might have thought or discussed when I wasn't around. So no, I personally didn't experience any stigma.
Right. Okay. And but just sticking with the stigma thing, do you think that stigma and fear of mental illness by others was a block to your recovery and to you getting help earlier?
I wouldn't say it was a block. I would say it took longer for those people around me to actually be drawn into what was happening and become part of my recovery plan. One of the biggest elements in my recovery that keeps me on the straight and narrow is the contact that I have with my friends.
Yes.
And all of them now understand my situation and keep an eye on me and look out for any little telltale signs.
Right.
So for me, that is very important that I do have these friends that I can trust.
Right. OK. Thank you, Nicola. And do you think that a person suffering from mental illness is likely to conceal a mental health difficulty from family and friends and possibly or maybe even especially from an employer?
I would love to be able to say that there was no need to conceal such things. But unfortunately, particularly in the work environment, there is still a lot of discrimination and people are very reticent to take time off. I remember the first time that I was signed off sick with depression, begging my doctor not to write depression on the form.
Yes, right.
Would that be the same case today? I probably would be more comfortable with there being something related to my bipolar. And while I was working, my employees did know of my situation.
Right.
Because I didn't want there to be any untoward events that were going to occur afterwards. So
right.
I discussed it with them. But yes, unfortunately, it was a risk. It could have backfired.
Yes, okay. And what do you say to somebody now who is in the same situation as you were 25 years ago? What advice would you give to that person?
It's very difficult giving advice in this situation because everybody's journey is their own. And while some of your listeners will see some similarities in their own stories, there will also be lots of differences. So the main thing that I would say is to find one trusted advisor and confide in them, because once you've shared it with one person, it does become easier to share it, whether that need to be with a clinician or a medical practitioner or a counsellor. So having that first conversation is undoubtedly the most difficult. But once you've done that first one, then the others become easier.
Right. And so you would really recommend talking to somebody who has got a certain expertise in this field rather than just talking to a family friend or to a personal friend?
No, I think both are necessary. I think it is important to be able to speak to those that are closest around you because they form part of your network. And most people initially do require some medical intervention as part of their recovery, but I think both are equally important.
Right, okay, thank you, Nicola. And was Sea Change instrumental in assisting your recovery? And did you also get assistance in other ways?
It was instrumental because I remember the day I was approached and that I was so chuffed that an organisation actually saw in me some worth. At the time, my own self-worth and self-esteem was very low. And the fact that an organisation was prepared to ask me to speak in public just really I was really chuffed when Sea Change first approached me about becoming an ambassador at a time when my own self-worth was really low. The fact that an organisation was asking and wanting to work with me just really lifted me that little bit further.
Yes, okay. And can you tell our listeners about the Green Ribbon campaign that has currently been rolled out by Sea Change?
Yes, the green ribbon. You'll see people wearing these throughout the month of May. And if you're not aware of it, just as we have the pink ribbon for breast cancer and we had the red ribbon for AIDS in the past, mental health is signified by the green ribbon. These are handed out free of charge throughout the month of May. In fact, this month, 500,000 are available and will be available through a number of our partners through Boots and also at railway stations.
Right, okay. And Nicola, how can people support the Green Ribbon campaign?
By taking a ribbon and by wearing it. By wearing the green ribbon, it signifies that you're able to have a conversation about mental health, whether it's your own situation or whether you're happy to be approached by somebody else. So it's just a little nod to everybody to let them know that you're prepared to have a conversation around mental health.
Right, okay. So that you're able and willing to do so, that's absolutely superb idea. And can you tell our listeners, or indeed anyone, how to contact Sea Change and either give support or get assistance themselves?
So the main website is greenribbon.ie, and on there are all the events that Sea Change and our partners are supporting. You can get involved as a volunteer, for instance, say handing out ribbons, or you can take part in, say, maybe one of the walk and talk events that we do in partnership with Quilture.
Right.
The idea being that walking out in nature is another way of connecting with the nature around you, which
yes.
has also
yes.
been shown, proven to have benefits.
Okay, and Nicola, who are the key target groups that you want to reach out to during this initial phase of the campaign?
Everybody. Right. Absolutely everybody.
Right.
Mental health affects everybody, so as many people as we can get to start having a conversation around mental health, the better.
Okay, so it's not just young groups, say 18 to 25, who seem to suffer mostly with these problems. It is also the older retired person also. Would that be correct?
Each of those groups experience mental health difficulties in different ways. We all know that adolescence is a time of fundamental growth and development that a lot of people find very difficult.
Yes, for sure.
So, yes, there are a number of organisations that specifically target youth mental health, the main one here being Jigsaw. And then at the latter stage of our lives, obviously mental health difficulties can arise if we're on our own. Loneliness, for instance, can lead to depression, as you could imagine.
Sure.
But nobody is immune, and all groups within society should feel that they're equally part of this campaign.
Okay, thank you, Nicola. And is there any point that we have not mentioned that you would particularly like to highlight yourself?
Not really, other than to say, without the support of people who supported me when I was going through difficulties, I wouldn't be where I am today in a position to hopefully support others. And I guess that's the message, really. We all need support at various times throughout our lives.
Sure.
And if you need support with your mental health, please don't be afraid to ask somebody.
Yes, okay. In other words, don't suffer in silence.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, look, thank you very much for joining us on Lifeline on Near FM today, Nicola. And I'm so impressed at your courage and integrity in your efforts to make a difference to the lives and mental health of others. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. So until then, bye for now.